This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And I'm speaking to Dan Wilson.
Hello.
Who is hello, Dan. How should I describe your role in this? So you are more than an engineer. You're a kind of boffin, aren't you? You're the sort
boffin.
Of behind the scene. Yes. You are familiar with the word boffin, or does that predate you?
Well, it's not that technical what I'm doing. I'm just running each of your poems, or unpoems.
Unpoems, please.
Through...
In fact, I've decided I'm sort of almost... I think I'm almost going to try and erase the word poem altogether and just call it words.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of what it is, and it's sort of so. I've composed these strings of words.
Yeah.
It's actually very hard to avoid the word poem, isn't it? Really.
Yeah.
Because even if you call it automatic writing or something,
you could sort of call still it word stuff.
Word stuff.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So basically, I've just taken your word stuff and run it through a voice synthesizer.
Yeah, but it's important to see, it's important that I send these words to you in effect by email. In fact, I write them on the phone and then send them to you. I've never written them out as such.
No. It's been an absurdity bubble, and which has been growing for some time, especially over lockdown.
Yes, that's right. It is. I think the word delirium is quite useful.
Yeah, that really sums up a lot of these, I think.
The process sort of involves sort of editing as I go along to try and resist what is a sort of what might be called a logical continuity of it. So after a word, I mean, I did notice that the computer sort of in one of them I've got the word wound. And then it's supposed to be wound.
It says, yeah.
And of course, in the string of words, it says wound, and then it should be wound. But of course, the computer just says wound twice.
Well, in a way, I find that what you're doing is almost subverting the voice synthesizers, which, I mean, a lot of technological effort goes into making artificial voices understandable. And what you're doing is dismantling all that effort completely that the industry is doing to make these voices intelligible. And you're just rendering them into, you know, you're challenging them with things like wound and wound and all sorts of
weird... But surely the technology doesn't try and interpret them, does it? I mean, it's just basically mouthing.
It does. Some of the more advanced ones are actually trying to put inflection into the sentences. A question mark, for instance, would sometimes be raised in cadence at the end. And it would try to look for sense in them to create intelligible speech. And a lot of effort goes into doing this. In fact, it's quite a coincidence because on a radio group that I'm in online, there was a paid opportunity to do a voice study. And a lot of the members of the group were quite persistent in trying to get them to confirm this study is not going to be something that puts voice actors out of business, because a lot of voice studies now are right. trying to develop AI. So they take your voice and they're just feeding it into their artificial intelligence algorithms. And ultimately, this will put voice actors out of business. And the Equity Union, some members of the Equity Union, which is a performers union, want to make it clear in future advertisements for posts that these studies and these jobs don't jeopardise the livelihoods of voice actors.
But is there a machine, or is there a what do you call it, software package or program? What do you call it?
It's an app, really.
These things.
Yeah,
it's an app. Okay. Yeah. So the app so far doesn't really doesn't really take the place of an actor as such.
Well, it kind of. So, I mean, on YouTube.
Well,
now,
no, because it's so flat, isn't it? It's so monotonous.
There's news channels on whole news channels on YouTube that just read out the news using AI voice synthesizers.
But can you tell the difference?
Oh, you can tell the difference. Yeah, yeah. They haven't got to the point yet where they will truly.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
It's on the cusp.
You can hear
though.
That it's a machine.
I think so, but it's on the very cusp.
Isn't that sounds like the equivalent of a sort of virtual reality where you get these kind of videos where something looks almost like a human being, but you can tell that it's not.
Yeah, I mean, even that's. I mean, only a few months ago, the Unreal Engine just was released, now the level's gone up of realism now in computer games. It's progressing quite fast. Yeah, but I like what you're doing there, because with you're feeding these voice synthesizers and showing all the failings of them, really. You're challenging them so much that they're failing in a lot of sentences, and also they're stumbling, and
that's
that adds
right.
the humour to it.
It's stumbling, and there's also, I noticed in playing another one back where I've put in a couple of German words, like ich, and the computer decides that's I-C-H. So presumably it's programmed to only understand one language at a time, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. So I think German words might be understood, but certainly the smaller the word, the more confused it gets.
Right. And you've chosen... I know there's one as well, one of the longer ones, you've speeded it up slightly, haven't you? Which becomes like sort of gibberish. It's one with the word where it's got happa happa repeated.
Oh, I think that's because you had no punctuation in that.
Oh, it sounds quite fast. We should also say that this is the fourth program of these. I think you've coined the term post AI,
post
AI,
yeah,
post
artificial intelligence,
or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the fourth program if you count last week's, which was a kind of repeat almost of the Science Museum one, but expanded a little bit with some poems from an artificially intelligence generated poetry bot. That's not necessarily what you're doing, though. You've flipped it around again by doing your own, poetry that's actually your own. It's made by a human, but you're actually almost after the event, after artificial intelligence has emerged, you're almost in the kind of wake of it, just throwing sticks.
So this first one is called Riposte with an exclamation mark. So I don't know, what would the computer do with an exclamation mark? Would it become Riposte?
It doesn't really. I haven't seen much interaction with exclamation marks.
Okay, so this first one's called Riposte.
But wait, scintillating, only in its brevity, was crossed by moonlight. Vague dishonors of multi-layered crudities grew over dew with frenzied ineptitude. Dragnets of bleeding crust. Give nothing. Woof.
Yes, that is a short one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is a very strange accent. I mean, it's testing the
possible accents.
Does it have a name, that accent? Is it sort of...
I think... I can't remember the name of the voice, because they often give names to the voices. And
how many are there? How many variations are there on this?
I use all different apps. There's all these different rival apps. Right. I'm just testing them all, really, just to give variation.
Yeah, but in theory, how many? Are we talking hundreds or just a few dozen? Probably
about 10 good ones.
Oh, right.
There's lots of different accents. I think I've used an Irish accent in one of these, a New Zealand accent too. So,
Okay. Well, this next one is called Down Wood Lane. And in actual fact, Wood Lane does exist. It's a real road which existed across the crossroads in Tugby, where I used to live.
This explains a lot of your dad's phrases that crop up in this one.
I suppose so. Is this the one where all of those familiar phrases crop up? Yeah. From the memory bank, from my own memory bank. Yes, Wood Lane was there was a sort of crossroads going across the A47, which runs from Leicester to Uppingham. And
is there something particularly glamorous or unsalubrious?
Well,
it
was quite a nice country lane where you could go for a walk and you'd take dogs for a walk and so on. And it was actually the site of a car crash, which I had with my brother in a black Standard 8 car, which we nicknamed the Black Frog. And we'd been to some strange party somewhere, and we had to go and rescue this vehicle the following day. We went back to get it, the Black Frog, on a Sunday, and Wood Lane was like a long hill which approached the Uppingham Road, and of course you had to give way or even stop at the junction because the Uppingham Road was a busy road, and you'd get quite a lot of traffic even on a Sunday. People would be travelling at like 50, 60 miles an hour, going straight through Tugby. And
it seems in those days there was lots of speeding and accidents, wasn't there?
That's right. This was before seatbelts and so on. You'd also get these lorries, cement lorries and brick lorries, which travelled from Corby to Leicester and back.
None of this is mentioned in the poem.
No, because the poem, for a start, it isn't a poem, and it's of course the idea is you go off at a tangent. I suppose you could liken it to a language knight's move. The knight in chess, where instead of going diagonally or straight on, you continually turn off in an L shape. That might describe the process.
Interesting.
So, which should appeal to you with your what do you call it? Not lateral thinking. You think I'm a linear thinker, and you sometimes accuse me of being too linear. But
I think being non-linear is good exercise for the mind, just to go.
What is an L shape? If it's an L shaped line, would that be linear or non-linear?
I'd call it sideways, like almost. It's like sidereal.
We're coming up Wood Lane, heading towards the A47. When you get to the top, there are quite high hedges, so in actual fact, you couldn't really see to the right or the left. You'd have to stop at the crossroads. And my brother, basically, his excuse afterwards was that he didn't want to lose revs, as he put it. In other words, he didn't want to lose the momentum of going up this hill, probably in second gear. And so, in short, he didn't stop. He just kept going at about sort of 10 miles an hour, I suppose, in this vehicle. Yeah. And sure enough, this other vehicle moved in front. It was coming along the road at about 50 miles an hour, and he clipped the side of this vehicle as it came past. So the Black Frog basically rammed this car towards its rear, and the other car sort of almost did a somersault and kind of turned over, and our vehicle was yanked sideways. It literally, from going straight on, it was pulled at 45 degrees, and so we were suddenly swung at 45 degrees. I have to say, had he pulled out possibly 2 seconds earlier, that car would have hit us sideways. That car would have got into our car at 50 miles an hour and probably would have killed him, actually. I was on the passenger side, so I might have escaped.
I don't like thinking about those kind of moments. I've had moments like that when I was on holiday, like stepping backwards to take a photo to get in frame a building. And as I was stepping backwards, my brother just called me. But if I'd stepped back any further, I would have gone into this endless pit which goes off the edge of a cliff, basically.
Yes.
And I would have died, and I just don't like thinking about that.
No, it's never a good idea to walk backwards under any circumstances.
I find those stories a bit
Well, you can edit that out if you want. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I'm not trying to disturb you or anything. But
no, that's interesting that you think I should edit it out, actually, because it's the poem title has triggered that. There's obviously meaning. You claim to be editing out meaning in poems, but actually yeah. There's lurking in there. There's little pockets
of meaning.
Well, yes, I mean,
all of the words come from somewhere. I mean, they all tap into my vocabulary, which I suppose after a while you begin to worry about how limited your vocabulary is, because, you know, unless you learn a different word every day, you are going to run out of words eventually. Let's play Down Wood Lane. I'm going to I think it's this one. I mean, if it isn't, I'll stop it. Okay. Down Wood Lane.
Acrobats assembled knowingly towards Dante's Inferno, as mentioned in dispatches by Valhalla in the Orkneys. The artillery battery made tea like the proverbial, knowing that Hades was in support of taking paraquat and blowing one's head off with a shotgun. Good God. Lord Almighty. It's like an oven in here, love a duck, good grief, I'm sweating like a pig, or would you sooner be a fish? I feel as old as Methuselah. If I'd stayed in the army, I'd be on a fat pension by now. Can you persuade your mother to stop smoking, man alive? It's solid rock, blast you, you blithering idiot. By Jove, Jiminy Cricket, a world of good, as dim as a Toc H lamp, a photograph of Lord Roberts. It's on a nail under the sink in Nelly's room. One more snifter and then I'll hit the hay. You perishers can make your own arrangements, as happy as a sandboy, like a stuffed owl. Give me a dinghy on the Norfolk Broads any day, good Lord, is that the time? I'm sick to the back teeth of the whole shooting match. Your mother and I will end up in straight jackets. For the love of Mike, this ulcer is giving me hell. I'd ask your brother, but it's like talking to a brick wall. Is John right in the head? Much more of this and I'll be ready for the box. You chaps aren't interested in cricket, are you? Tomfoolery, back chat, verbal diarrhea, talking dry, cut the cackle, on a sticky wicket, get us up, get cracking, I give up, sigh, laugh like a drain, shrive in them, get fell in, hold the fort, as fit as a flea, write me hearties, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Your mother has no head for business. As long as you've got a roof over your head, you're laughing Orinoco's Jezebel, Highland Fling Cruise Missile, Simon's Grill Bar under the Grand Hotel, Beaver Street, Adele Lane, Leeds, Scarborough College, Tadcaster Ales, Kippers and Tea, the Voluminous Antioch, Jerusalem, Bad Habits, a frock coat with tartan lining, Rolleston Lake, East Streetcar Park, plus fours and a tweed hacking jacket, ribbon around the neck like a gypsy, wrought iron, pipe smoke to make you sick, tripe and onions, infused with nostalgia like a soup bowl for a cash register, ceramic heads of characters like a Mexican, a plastic replica of a pistol.
Don't forget your father's birthday on the 10th of January. Here's 10 shillings, buy him some Old Spice from Marshall and Snellgrove.
All right, so that was Downwood Lane. I don't know what that accent was. That's quite strange. It's almost like a cultured English accent, but with a sort of drawl to it.
Yeah, some of them you can edit the speed and pitch.
Right.
And you can make them slightly off base a bit. You know, yeah. I think I quite like doing that because it makes them a bit more fruity. Is that the word?
Fruity. Okay, so this next one is Homily to a Dead Gannet.
Heathcote hardly heard Harriet, the haberdasher, happily and wholeheartedly heap hubris, but hopped and hovered heartily over the hedge fund managers, whose haphazard grimaces survived denial. Acid test, exclaimed Volgograd. Between oars, the dishevelled blackballed disgust of hyacinths can no longer hold water. Sighed Evanescent Eva, the drugged blabbermouth of yore. Have I offended you in some way? Piloted Pontius Pilate, the plumber's mate, whose disastrous piping pipped the post, and drained the entire bagpipes whilst still droning, and finally drowning in accumulated silt and feces split by atoms. Vincent faced off the bittersweet dreadnought fireflies swarming around Jock McFadden's entrails, which spilled out of a festering wound, and wound themselves around aforementioned Harriet. The hut is burning, opined Ox. Draw the blinds. Forget-me-nots in autumn was forced blithely from a turret by blind butchers. Quartermaster Snape snipped his own toenails. Jerry built cucumber sauce on a chocolate eclair. Foul, the whistle blew for half time.
All right, so this next poem is called Revised Unpoet. Actually, you see, I keep falling into the trap of I can't stop calling them poems. Even I'm calling them poems. And in fact,
there's no way out.
And the word unpoem comes into the title of this one. So it's very hard to erase that word because it's anyway. So this next word string is called Revised Unpoem with More Vowels, begrudgingly edited to appease the computer god who can't cope with too many consonants.
Jombring Frillips and Crux Drynaught Vrim Brabble Synchrony. Drupal Slivovitz the Drocklecking Ascription Show Over Jawurstramina Oberlutnant Hanger Flag. Brack Soup. ICH Imbaduberu Thatchit Schlester June Crew Member. Happa 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 Drog Flu. Flu Happa 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 Scowl Made in Heaven. Karambakaramba Karamba Obstacle Vleet Blinkered Scatter Shatter Jingle Keys Hopelessness Listlessness. Seashell Conch Conch Happiless Skipping Julian Shotgun Wedding. Scattergun hoo-ha environmental mental steroid asteroid drew conclusive Germanic Bavarian shock crockery indefatigable overlocker protestation crock lock Loch Ness monster. Stinklessness murmur memory bank worsen geriatric arsenic poisoning, jolly gene factory reverence damn throughout genius crackerjack cauliflower pastry case. Axminster coccyx MMMM happa mm happa globule jajajajajajati swirty eye top envious enver horger acapulco gin sling. Clapper 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 happer snails clamber towards the barbed wire claptrap, vim, circumventing wild slugs entitled to heirlooms blue doctorate and the digital heirs arts geek winner. Greek sheet muzak Oscar losing beript on the happer bladder rap, slap happy blood letting splatter the highland hemorrhoming glen sporin shift lutema riesling Franz Ford cupola, Max Harrison, Gary Peck, Amethyst Wolstenholme, Spirits Commentator Crematorium, Norman the Wrestling Penguin hove into view with a happa 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 shingles enveloping the midriff impending doom gloom. Scriabin dissolved into bedlam, deciding to take a well-earned holiday factory in Hawaii. The papayas were necessary to firestorm and forestall any deforestation implied within Clause 32 as explained violently in the calamitous and onerous controversy surrounding the headless, hat stand, oak rivets and cardboard canvas stretcher moistened by her own petard, oxidized, caramel, jamboree festivities increased with age and the wrought iron salt beef sandwich happa nostalgia, Windmill Street Nosh Bar, Continental Bar humus with pita bread all gone no more, the fruit fly drove boxed. Corgi hearse up chairing crossroad Cecil Court 84 Hanf Desert. Second hand trailer park, Ven stole the Gabrauch graphic by stuffing it down his trousers, the three-volume catalogue raison of Spiegelhalter's works on paper sold to Barry Munchkin for a song, Irish eyes were meaningless crowbar hatchet-faced glimmer toad. Ere hendeth the thirst lesson. Make up your wind.
Yeah, so this is that's the one where it interprets ich as ICH.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of quite a few challenges here that you've thrown those artificial voices. Happa, yeah. Happa, happa appeared.
Yeah, well, I started to try and make up words. So some of them are not real words. I don't know where happa, happa comes from at all. I just sort of quite liked the sound of it. And that's spelled
Finnish.
It's spelled H-A-P-P-A, not doesn't have ER at the end. But yes, it could be Finnish, couldn't it? And one word is something like J-E-J-E-J-E-J-E. The computer makes it a stutter.
Yeah.
Which was quite interesting, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting that you're dismantling all the the sense that the AI voices are striving for and revealing the cracks, the fault lines in their construct.
Yes, and I think you warned me, in fact. I mean, I was doing other things. That's right. If I use the word that was all consonants, which I did, I did one which where there were several words with only consonants, and you warned me against that because the computer would just...
You think it's an acronym, usually.
Yeah, so it would just spell out each letter, even though they were bundled together. So I've had to stop doing that, in fact. So that poem was, in fact, edited. I had to go back to edit it to take out the words that were too many consonants. And also the title in this case has also been added afterwards.
So what was the original title?
Well, I have no idea. I don't know. I really don't know anymore.
Oh, the original title was Hack Factor's Glommer.
Right, OK.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose I do hope that there is a degree of humour with these. I quite like, I mean, some of them make me laugh when I hear them played back.
There is something in that poem which might be significant. You mention Venn stole the Gebrauch graphic by stuffing it down his trousers.
Yes. That was a real incident.
And I know.
It becomes a string of words, but then every so often, either a phrase sort of takes place, or it's like it's as though it's like complete delirium, but then suddenly bang, there might be a string of words which actually do make sense briefly, and then it kind of, I suppose it's a bit like a radio signal, isn't it? It's a bit like tuning a radio, and you kind of, it's as though you've been listening to some foreign language and then suddenly you get a weather forecast or something in the middle of it. And so there will be these little snippets of what seems to be a literal sentence.
I mean, other people, possibly some of your more bookish listeners, might recognise the name Venn as a... I don't know if it's legal to say it. I mean, he was a suspected shoplifter. No,
well, he was
a
confirmed shoplifter. Yeah, and he. Well, we do we have time to tell the story? I mean, it's too long. The story's too long. But he had stolen a hefty volume of Gebrauchsgrafik, which was...
It's almost like he wanted to get caught, because that's such a big book.
Yes, possibly. He was a strange character. I mean, it wasn't a normal kind of book thief tale, because he, as you say, he did... It seemed to be a compulsive thing, but also I did see him or encounter him later where he seemed to be ripping pages out of the books for no apparent reason. And when I caught him with this large volume stuffed down his trousers, and I prevented him from leaving the shop, and at first he tried to deny that he'd taken the book, and I sort of said, well, look, you were looking at it. I know you were looking at it last. Can you tell me where you've put it? Thinking, well, if he's put it down somewhere else in the shop, then fine, we can go and retrieve it. But he had to admit that it was down his trousers. So he opened his coat and pulled this big book out from down his trousers. And then I confronted him. I sort of said, by the way, I saw you in that gallery ripping pages out of other books that you'd obviously taken from the shop. And he had no explanation. He wouldn't answer that. He wouldn't tell me why he was tearing pages out of them.
I would have paid him for an explanation, because I think that's such a curious...
Yeah. So let's move on to the next poem. The next string of words.
Yes, word stuff.
Yeah. And this one is called Acapulco, My Smirking Anchovy.
Fenugreek of Acapulco Dreadnought. Barrack room slop instigators derided to further Jarro march. Bloodletting. Dry biscuits notwithstanding shot down by orange breakwaters. Slim chance to generate BAPS. The adjudicator emphasized that nowhere could take the place of turbot. Wind jammer sloop schooner gratified to slip seamlessly past a network of gruel, but the hall porter was indescribably mummified. Whistling Yankee Doodle Dandy to the tune of Blackberry Way. Hoops of Schimmelpenninck cigars hatched forth, folding crucial hacking jackets as worn by the Duke of Edinburgh at Balmoral on the occasion of twin birthmarks. Googly bowlers queued up to transverse impish catamarans, the like of which had only been witnessed as surfers over alpine gorge dwellers. Bulkhead drillers grew horns. Perfumed scent bottles containing a dilution of bleach sprinkled lightly through a mirror unclaimed for 50 years, its only derogatory plume of smoke whispered vaulting horses. Nay. By Jupiter, my force-fed blackberry sundae emitted foul entropy. The doubloons of buccaneer, plastic in uniformity, but cast down the stairwell as loose change. Crimp dressing gowns stitched with the insignia of Franz Joseph, hooligan of witchcraft, immersed in the wicked slime of mouldering inkwells. Pits of doom encrusted with purple moss and living lichen. Beaver dam. Boulder crush. Vindictive scum, holding behind the stiletto, sharpened by Kilnoghi, the art director whose indiscretion caused havoc in the laundry basket. Delivering reams of red tape to a raving publicity agent, cold-hearted and liposuction prevailing in the abattoir beside a butcher's shop dealing in human heads. Wigs extra? No sideboards, just mutton chop whiskers. Hairless heirlooms to undeserving inheritors of Deadwood stock, burnt to a singed pint of tied Guinness, stout and friendly. Barrel loads. Enormity of stature and dutiful beauty by a millstream Dorothy. Slingshot Larry. Vexed importer of contraband hummus, stampeded olive oil, bells of crinoline. Mere bagatelle my smirking anchovy, the statues of Minsk grin needlessly in turpitude facing east, zombies boundlessly screech urbane platitudes and the Gordonstone riots bewildered even the gargling tub thumpers. Give me another, chortled Fitzpatrick with Vaseline between his blue teeth as mandated by the choristers of Hornsey Rise, risen by deep sea divers to a chorus of Blow the Man Down. Crippergate. A blue Danube histrionic LP sold at discount by Aldi. 10%. A coven of hoteliers stabbed each other multiple times with hot skewers.
Yes, and I have no memory of that one, so I'm not sure how to describe that. Perhaps you can remember them. I have no memory of them whatsoever. I mean, when I hear them played back, I almost have no memory of having written them or anything. They're completely, it's like news to me, you know.
This next one does trigger a memory. It's called The Deadline Looms,
right?
Because that was written to hurry me along a bit when I was doing the soundtrack to one of your films.
Right.
I was doing the soundtrack to Passages, which is one of your abstract short films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one's called The Deadline Looms.
Boulder, Colorado remained investiture by dueling insubordinately through foxgloves. Bin diver scrambled dire nest egg via mounting credibility gap, supplanted by a bleeding kite. Shall I delve scuba safety match? Inquired job. Not particularly, came the muted response from a collapsed team of fire hydrant supervisors, their disillusioned aura permeating fireside hearths throughout Halifax. Invigilators mourned the lack of wall space, constructing ironclad sub-basements to interbody parts deemed unusable. Dab foreheads with iodine. Concrete. Scintillating crustaceans exchanged holiday snaps. A duodenal ulcer was inoperable, but the fat belly stultified with inertia carrier pigeon scoffed oxidized oatmeal. Dragnet was popular. Finally, adverbs mustered on the poop deck by a mutilated adjutant, whose sole responsibility had been to muffle any amount of Dublin Bay zebras, crossed out, vehemently. Angostura bitters.
This next one is called Affordable Art.
Putative in battery-driven hieroglyphics, Ariadne Arrowsmith embarked on lupine growth formulas in vain attempt to demonstrate mastery. How bold, mused Natterjack Toad. blistered mushroom-colored doppelgangers screwballing a googly unwisely through a portcullis. Due to the cumulus cirrus formation over Guatemala, the forensic scientists abandoned their greased wheelchairs to collectively finish rum cocktails, skewered with maraschino jelly in high dudgeon. Collaborate, hissed Gessler, following William Tell towards Highgate Cemetery, erstwhile naval battalion guessing the whereabouts of barrack room song sheets, withered, but nailed to a strumpet board which marauding fakirs had pummeled into submission by stamping virulently on feet of clay. Otherwise than this, beleaguered cornets of melted ice cream delivered by hermeneutic sledgehammers. Crap, handle. Butane fortification. Clad blockhead future sock. £500. Obfuscate the hammerhead shark and remove drawing pin from its webbed foot.
Okay, so that one was called Affordable Art, and it's followed... This computer has been scheduled to go to sleep automatically. If you do nothing, the computer will go to sleep in 9 minutes and 51 seconds. I have to cancel that. Okay.
This is why you have to go post-AI. You have to get away from technology.
Yes, yeah. In fact, interestingly, I did see... Today I was walking to the shop over Blackfriars Bridge, and there was a shop that had closed down, and half of the sign was obscured by a huge to let sign. And so...
A what sign?
A to let. You know,
an estate agent saying this shop is
to let. And that had obscured half of the name of the shop that had been there before. And what it said was fee blick.
Oh, it's like one of your poems again.
Well, exactly. It's, what do you think? Can you think what that was?
No, what
was it? Was the Coffee Republic, but it had left the word fee and blic, so it was sort of a bit like a sort of found words. So that last one was Affordable Art, and coming up next is Virtuous Clown Tray.
Swivel-headed tortoise clowns invested heavily in antediluvian bikinis, scorching humpback flatfish in vain striving. Blackberry percentage scriveners, jubilant with washed vacuum hoovers, implanted by jagged jaguars scrolled twice machinery typewriter pens, turbot ingratiated splenetic roof ulcers, decreed voluntarily by frogspawn imposters that shivered by moonlight, Christmas cards. Hapa hapa echoed morosely through the brains of pegged out victimhood, obviously defunct through fault of their owners. Hercules Brabazon Barbican joined in congratulating Jowett Javelin impaired, strangulated archdoctorate in psephology. Imploding variously, Gladness Club tightly shoeing mice intent on vandalism with iron railings scotched in mirth, voluminous undercarriage whittled Gloucester jet white line cat's eye whimpering, holistic religion wheeze daddy short legs, why? Blabber blabber hapa hapa crumb floss. Drinks are on the louse. Brim empty nausea bucket at the unready cruel Skittlecraft forest gate. Fumble skiffle clandestinely hopper careering out of control towards gristle of dismembered operating anaesthetists cannibals gory retail. Rome, open city the fabled film by Hubert Mussolini, grandchild of Pettigrew who taught hopelessness professors to chew fat with defiance, prancing acrobat with spilt tights mannequin bloater paste. HP sauce. Ketchup made from harbor lights and awful oyster offal. Jellyfish in trays polluting climbing plants trellis over snap. Creep no more, my infamous cousin. Japanese string beads fried with cotton buds, grease and engine oil earwax, radish. Bluebirds rang cracked bells to a Disney theme, and Howard glued himself to a disused mine shaft pleasantly. Could Matt Monroe achieve? Evidently not, logically, but mystery shot past at light speed clumsy cheese haystack wart faux walrus child ivory eyebrow dinner jacket sable skinned fine brushstroke splendid for vicuner undergrowth. Plumed ostrich leather resumed pikelet grains furthering ambition as originally conceived by desperate childless actors. Worthington. Ashtrays.
So that was Virtuous Clown Tray, and the next one is Ash Ford Drizzle.
The bellicose filigree bumblebee buzzed nonchalantly towards an ever-increasing violin case. Backstabbers in khaki camouflage inveigled themselves. Due to foreseen circumlocution, Oscar Hammerstein composed Pasta, blubbing silently in a crowded parlor, thronged with attention seekers whose raison d'etre belied a condescending wrench. Parry the sword thrust with cochineal, explained the dead librarian. Dramatize in excellence any scarlet vote catcher, especially during Lent, reasoned the party of Thai tourists, while followed by store detectives. Queue forever. Dry the winter pockets. Exceed. Free fall through gossamer clouds laced with cyanide. Bagatelle. Crumpled corrugated cardboard, soggy with horse urine. Bleach. Attack the Dover Straits. Volume. Fusillade.
So that was Ash Ford Drizzle. Coming up next is Expressionism.
Infertile imbroglio, infiltrated into idealistic ions. The parking bay remained static. All but the deaf refuted the prevailing argument that blue shepherds contributed to waste. Finally, enjoyment settled winsomely. Peculiar to Winchelsea, Barabbas clambered through the winding portcullis, complaining under his breath that overgrown porcupines were the bane of Pontefract cake. Jocular snowmen perceived mortality with grim foresight. Their only chance of survival lay in the hands of a former headmaster, who inflicted corporal blandishment. Filigree rickshaws carried useless bomber jackets to a destination in Vietnam, greeted by wholesome invigilators, trained to organize parties. Drag sketchbooks across a wet road, avoiding cement lorries driven backwards by disillusioned polecats. Absolutism traversed politely. Jackson Pollock. Pardoned emphysema, rusted in a distant cornfield.
So coming up next after Expressionism is Grommets.
Invigorated by plastic, Shostakovich's chauffeur shuffled Scheherazade's shinbone towards Sheffield. Shall I, should I, surmised Hermione, looking longingly out of place in ostrich feathers. Blandford Forum replaced Bishop's Stortford as capital of West Bromwich Albion, gateway to the Hyacinth Factory. Grommets are us. Fused with melancholy had no trout. Scheming sedentary olive branches chose Woolworths by default. Willful bifocals straddled three counties and added up to 17. How to escape? Mandatory. Vanden Plas coachwork. Schimmelpenninck cigarillos steamed in the lips of armadillos whose trousers were rolled up against a biting wind. From the east.
Okay, so after Grommets, we have Here.
Blasted by moonlight, diatribes abounded in Fortescue. By dribbling slowly through fat treacled inner tubes beholden to grizzled amphetamine osteopaths. Climb, climb instinctive daggers of misfortune, as pile drivers, inert with snapdragons, collided insensitively through monastic apple trees. Diagonal instruments vomited. Breathe again, deeply, slight, crab, slime, overdue mental payment, instability enabled by blood oranges in vacuous torment, encouraged by Wolverhampton Wanderers and stung by Hamilton Academicals, as immortalized in bubblegum cards, pink, chewed and blown, like chandeliers over crystal telegraph pole. Creep sullenly. Describe a landscape which expands towards the horizon, distant objects looming larger and overshadowing isotopes in tandem. Caramba! The porcelain Mexican with no feet stubbed out a fake cigar on the forehead of Harry Sacom, singing Welsh rugby songs. Barry Humphreys. Humphrey Littleton. Michael Medwin. Jumping Jehoshaphat. Catherine Wheel. Bacon Sandwich. Dan Wilson.
That text was called Here. The next one is In Violation of Indigenous Tax Havens.
Part 1, Decries Infatuation with Barbells. Crude insomnia flocks in groups of five, but never operating solo. Can migraine suffer like cheese in a vapor storm? Offered a wafer biscuit by triangular sommeliers in triple tricorns, the dutiful portrait painter objected to being depicted as a butcher. His own meager attempts at mimicry only resulted in poor imitations of ersatz forgery, but hopelessly sanguine against a backdrop of malnutrition. Ancient Egyptians solidified resistance to antibiotics, like spiders in aspic. Fog. Tyrone Power starred in The Razor's Edge by Somerset Maugham. Oxford and Cambridge boat race. Brew a Chinese medicinal remedy made from rhinoceros horns illegally imported from Botswana. Canned laughter. The Oxbow incident. Camaraderie viewed backwards through a broken kaleidoscope. Fragments of perfumed mutton. Obscured by sunlight, Edgar attempted to tie a Windsor knot, but failed.
Coming up next is Poet's Block, which unfortunately uses the word poet. This is before before I was able to, well, before I'm trying to focus on removing the word poet or poem. I think that was an early one. Was it?
You should stress also that there's been almost 100, I think, of these things you've sent me, so there's quite a volume of these to go through.
Yeah. Do you think we should perhaps we should publish them at some point, the collected poems or something, the collected words, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, you've admitted yourself that poetry is very difficult to sell, though, so I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. No, we'd probably have to give it away or something.
Or force it on people.
Yeah.
Decried by vindictive Hootenanny organisers, the brilliantined barn owls from Bosnia circled slowly, fondling amorous slugs, whose coupling had been studded fortuitously by ageing Swedes trained in botany at Leipzig School for Girls. Grinning needlessly while searching for rhymes in discarded bin liners, the drapery of which encroached below the plimsoll line, as noted by tugboat stewards, those intrepid folklore peddlers hung with disused tires to prevent scraping along the quayside, where unemployed barbers spent hours fishing for filth, occasionally netting Russian eels coated with paraffin and seagull feathers, yodeling sea shanties in Wallonian dialects considered obsolete by Belgian legionnaires absconded from Loch Earn. How to concoct victorious fantail pigeons, blue mist through a Norse's tremolo. Booble, knot, blick, secondary cruise. Dandered gribble drake, fluke slippery deck. Carouse candlelit flock scrimmel. Junk weed from Dagenham. Climb your own petard with withered geranium, slap happy dwarf tender. Barbary ape. Will it never end, surmised who?
Okay, so that was Poet's Block. Coming up next is Putative.
At ease, provokes fury amongst saturnine mammoths, whose involuntary grunts disheveled Victorian lampposts covered like pussy willows, downlike and abbreviated subsequently browbeaten, decided against. Thrift was mandatory. Pondering the future, Galahad ventured to suggest, hugely enjoyable, providing that porcupines remain domesticated. Arable refrigerators, press, gang, deliberate foolishness, strap hanging commuters, defenestrated en masse at East Norton Station, creating mayhem. The castle moat encrusted great orcs with reeds and thatched embryos, the blue painted vase illustrated with sinking ships, no survivors. Dutiful sons lined up with savage bouquets, determined to embarrass their fathers, quelling hedgehogs, cursing osteopaths and demanding compensation. Brutal revenge on the part of retired florists. The bald barrister demurred. Studebaker Golden Hawk parked sideways.
So that was putative. This next poem, I can't stop saying poem. So this next string is called Today's Bilge.
Bilge? That could be the name of these things you keep saying poems. Maybe it's...
Yes, bilge.
That's a bit derogatory.
It's a bit derogatory, isn't it? I don't want it to sound like slop. I mean, I quite like delirium. Delirious... As though there's a lack of control over it, you know.
Deliriphonics,
yes, perhaps. Yeah.
Balaclava beatified by how witches, ingrained with marzipan, okra, known as ladies' fingers in Abyssinia, grew warm with penciled migraine. The dowager termite belonged nowhere. Criminality bespoke tweed waistcoats, grimaced Otilly Patterson, wild chromosome of nonchalance. Consummate greed prevailed throughout the bus depot, swirling newspapers describing febrile animosity whilst weasels drank rhubarb juice. Bratislava drains. Pile drivers reigned over subdued moonbeams, reflected in horn-rimmed glasses. Pince-nez microscope focused on sand. Cue ball into the red pocket.
Where were we? So that was Today's Bilge. And interestingly, the next one is called Today's Weather. So I must have had a bit of a fixation about the word today for at least two strings.
In perpetuity, Alexander bottled newfound instruments, decadent with scapulars. Crumbling by turn, dreadful archers dried tears of joy, only to backtrack when confounded by shimmering interlopers, dressed to the nines in wolf skin gaiters, set off by beaver skin earrings. Playing scales off the map, Archbishop Priest venerated souls with gusto whilst playing two harmonicas and a clarinet. "Bin that jet stream!" exclaimed Otto. "Eat your greens, burbled violet, looking purple around the gills and yellow under the elyrons. Tune the forks. Exercise, using rubber inner tubes attached to a loose door handle. Think nothing of it," wailed a chorus of dowager termites. "I think I'm going out of my head," crooned Antony and the Imperials. Meanwhile, back at the windsock, Julius McTavish consumed vast quantities of crocodile eggs in competition with a contingent from Latvia, who had been practicing for the wrong event, namely pistol shooting, causing numerous wounds to their own team. By now, Vera had been proved wrong.
So that was Today's Weather. This next one is called Clint Eastwood. I have no idea why. Some of them have introduced names. You've probably noticed that.
Oh, yeah. They're almost like memory prods.
Yeah. And some of them I've deliberately mixed up the names, where there was one one of the latest ones, I think, where I've introduced three. Well, I mentioned Francis Ford, and then I changed the word Coppola to Coupola, so it becomes Francis Ford Coupola, and something like Max Peck or something. You know what I mean? So there's a kind of deliberate mixing up of film stars' names. So this one is called Clint Eastwood. Whereas, strictly speaking, I suppose I should have mixed his name up and called him something like Clint Bogart or something, you know, if I was doing the Knight's Move with the title.
Almost indifferent to criticism, the road hauliers chose to jettison the cargo of auburn fur-lined muffs, which had hitherto clogged the sewer underneath the now crumbling Nissen hut, rusted corrugated cardboard roofing soggy, with accumulated plasma from disorientated storks, anxiously searching for a roost. But no chimneys were forthcoming, at least not in this jugular of the woods. Would that it had been so, but crouched in his usual frozen rabbit pose, Van Dongen retched towards the jeep. Blown sideways into a Tesco bolt hole, dried and cowed by bargains, suitably brittle but substantially cropped. Jodhpurs sluiced their way to oblivion. A rectangular cloud dipped suddenly, exposing a pulsating star.
So after Clint Eastwood, we have Fenella Fielding.
Embellished by grisly moonlight, ground into pulp for reasons unknown, scrubbled, yet avuncular, no amount of tread water could denounce what had already been written elsewhere. And better. Voluminous in its transparency, the cue announced through cyanide that elbow room was at a premium. Even in this dungeon of moss and treacle, scribbling by aforementioned, Ron Heisler dragged himself over the Millennium Bridge to pick over pamphlets deemed uninfectious. Odds against were strangulated. Despite a dearth of drainage, Dan deliberated duly on a dreadful diatribe, disturbed by dead dots, those harbingers of hair, harassed by Don Quixote. Was Zed Cars really due for revival after the demise of Fancy Smith? Crass hot buns would sear through an atmosphere of black snow. Mr. Blobby, Sir Walter Raleigh, Vince Eager, the Flower Pot Men, a cardboard mask of Sophia Loren on the body of Helen Shapiro walking backwards to happiness. Describe it to me. That gem of degradation, sprinkled with an inkling of nutmeg, chimed with tangerine, emblazoned with fresh colons. Blast you.
So that was Fenella Fielding, and the last text in today's programme is Trappist Monk.
Barbed wire becomes you, at a Urquhart. Imagine bellicose fraternity dresses, required reading for comatose insurgents hell-bent on intermediate remedies for cold sores by membranes. Dream away soft scribbles in moping squire urgency. Dopamine vitamin deficiency interlopers twice, but negates amphibian scrolls. Belief in happenstance belies nose failings, invigorated formally. Black badger bulk buys brought beneath blather monkeys. Warm turkey splits vinegar. Chronic vibrancy cracks sympathetic coconuts. But not on Wednesday. Shuffling. Showered stab.
And that was Trappist Monk. You've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And I've been in conversation with Dan Wilson, who's been...
relaying the poems.
Yeah, I still don't know. It's like you're putting them through a kind of a processor of some sort, isn't it? Like a sort of...
It's like they're being minced into audio form.
I mean, that would be interesting. I wonder if one day you might sort of mash them all up somehow so that the poems all become a kind of...
You could do, actually, It makes them even less tolerable. I mean, eventually you're becoming noise in a way.
Right,
you
know, so.
It's certainly a challenging process. It's... to listen to, I think, for a third party.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.